Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 4, Text Number 30. Yasmin yato yena cha yasya yasmai. Yasmin yato yena cha yasya yasmai. This is the Brahma Samhita meter. Yasmin yato yena cha yasya yasmai. Yato yena cha yasya yasmai. Yadyo yata kurute karyate cha. Yata kurute karyate cha. Paravasaisham paramam prak prasidam. Paravaresham paramam brak prasidam. Yes, let's try to say it together, please. Crisply. Crisp. Pareshvaram paramam brak prasidam. Paramam brak prasidam. Tad brahma tad detur. Ananda Dekam. You see, some Prabhus are on this frequency, some Prabhus on this frequency. In South India, they have, they chant, they have a leader of the Brahmins, and he actually conducts the chanting with a movement of his hand like a Western orchestra conductor, you know, so that is to keep the perfect meter. So we should try to keep the meter crisp. Yasmin yato yena cha yasya yasmai. Yasmin yato yena cha yasya yasmai. You hear the difference? How many of you hear the difference? Most of you don't hear the difference. One is crisp and the other is sloppy. Again, yes min yato yena cha yasya yasmai. Yes min yato yena cha yasya yasmai. Yad yo yada kurute karate cha. Yad yo yada kurute karate cha. Paravaresham paramam prakidatam. Paravaresham paramam prakrasidaham. Tad brahma tad detur anadidekam. Tad brahma tad detur anadidekam. Yasmin yato yena cha yasya yasmai. Yasmin yato yena yasya yasmai. Yad yo yata kuru de karyate cha. Yad yo yada kurde karyate cha. Paravaresam paramam brak prasidam varde. Sam paramam brak prasidakam. Tad brahma yad tad detur ananyadekam. Yasmin yato jena cha yasya yasmai. Yad yo yada kuru de karya de cha. Yad yo yada kuru de cha. Paravaresham brahmam brak prasidam. Paravaresham brak prasidam. Tad brahma tad deta anadya ekam. Tad brahma tad deta anadya ekam. Next. Asmin yata yena jaya place and source of everything. Everything is done by him, everything belongs to him, and everything is offered to him. He is the ultimate objective, and whether acting or causing others to act, he is the ultimate doer. There are many causes, high and low, but since he is the cause of all causes, he is well known as a supreme Brahman who existed before all activities. He is one without a second, and he has no other cause. I therefore offer my respects unto him. Please repeat. The supreme Brahman Krishna is the ultimate resting place and source of everything. Together. Everything is done by him. He is the ultimate objective. Objective means goal. And whether acting or causing others to act, he is the ultimate doer. There are many causes, high and low. Since he is the cause of all causes, he is well known as the supreme Brahman who existed before all activities. He is one without a second.
He is one without a second.
And has no other cause. I therefore offer my respects unto him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the original cause, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. Even in this material world, which is conducted under the modes of material nature, is caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who therefore also has an intimate relationship with the material world. If the material world were not a part of his body, listen carefully. If the material world, there's no water, standard etiquette is to offer the speaker a cup of water. If the material world were not part of his body, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Cause, would be incomplete. Therefore, we hear Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sadurlabha. If one knows that Vasudeva is the original cause of all causes, of course, Vasudeva is another name of Krishna for multiple reasons. He becomes a perfect Mahatma. So if you know that Vasudeva Sarvamiti, if you know that Sarva Karna Karnam, as stated in the Brahma Samhita, Sarva means all. It's a word that is used frequently by Krishna, Sarva. And like there's a gambling term in the West, winner takes all. Some of you may have seen, movies of the gamblers, and especially in the Old West, and they sit at a table with green table, and the chips are there, plastic chips, used to be gold coins, like when Lord Balaram was gambling with Rukmi, they were gold coins, they weren't plastic chips, you know. And they have a hook, and if they win, they take the hook with great relish, and they go, poosh, and they pull the chips towards themselves. You poor fool, you have lost, you know. Anyways, it takes a while to tell the story of Rukmi and Balaram. It's a great story. But winner takes all. So, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. If one knows that Vasudeva is the original cause of all causes, he becomes a perfect Mahatma. So actually, most of you who are sitting here understand at Govinda. Govinda expands in multifarious forms, but nevertheless, they are one, as confirmed by Madhavacharya, Ananya Sadvishad Bhavad Eko Rupa Yaka Bindita. Krishna has no cause nor any equal, and he is one because his various forms, Jivanamsa, are non-different from himself. Everyone, please. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pasaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nivisesha Shanyavari Bhaskatya Desitarane Om Aginati Vanindasya Gina Gina Shalaka Chaksurun Manitam Gina Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Narayanam Namaskritya Nanam Jaiva Narottamam Devam Saraswatam Vyasam Dodaram Adiriyat Nasta Parayeso Abadreso Yam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Uttama Sloka Bhakti Vaivati Naistiki. The first thing we should understand is that the reference to the Supreme Brahman, the impersonalists of course would jump with joy and say, see, we told you, Brahman is everything. And this so-called form of Christian, all these other things are illusory. But therefore, Prabhupada's translation, that he says Krishna, to make sure that there's not impersonal misunderstanding, sarva karna karnam. He's the ultimate resting place, source of everything, sarva karna karnam. Now the next point is everything is done by him. Again, an impersonalist would twist that. Say, you see, we are all Brahman, Brahman is the doer. We are not doing anything, you see? But that is not the proper Vaishnava Siddhanta. Everything is done by him that requires some thought, or it will be misunderstood as impersonalism. How many of you already understand the statement, everything is done by him? Okay, that's good. It's an honest audience. That's good. Because actually the concept is not so easy to understand without milking the surabhi cow of the Bhagavad Purana to reach the proper siddhanta or conclusion. Everything is done by him. Krishna is the ultimate doer. Now the jivas, as you know, have got limitations. In this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita on the factors of action, it's clear there are five factors of action, but the primary factor of action is Super Soul, or Krishna, Vasudeva. So, therefore, Bhagavad says, everything is done by him. Well, then what can we do? What can Jiva do? If everything is done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what can the Jiva do? So this is discussed in that chapter of Bhagavad Gita on the five factors of action. That the Jiva, the individual soul, can desire and can endeavor. That's it. That's all that the jiva can do. Can't do anything more than that. For the non-devotees, the results of action are supplied by the stringent. You know, the word stringent means very, very tight. Laws of material nature and the very stringent laws of karma. Action and reaction. And by the way, since there are some Westerners here, I sometimes explain to Indians, but Indians don't know much about Christian philosophy. But when you talk to Christians, say you go to a university, supposing Jai Jai Radha Madhava Sasaki Giraj Govardhan Hari Bhavan, they will be these over-clever university students, they may say, it doesn't say anything about karma in the Bible. There's nothing about karma in the Bible. So, this is just some Hindu concoction. Really? So, please explain to me. When the Bible says, cast your bread upon the water and it shall return unto you. What does that mean? You ask a Christian, I don't know. This is poetic. Cast your bread on the water, and then suppose you take a loaf of bread and you throw it into the ocean, and then, you know, gradually the tide is going to bring it back, it's going to come back to you. You know. Cast your bread upon the water and it shall come back to you. That is a poetic rendition of the law of karma. What you put out is going to come back. Good or bad, it's going to come back. So it is there But only the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord, Krishna, Vishnu, they can understand the Bible better than the Christians, actually. You know, so understanding that this law of karma is universal, not just Hindu, this is very important. You know, it is implies universally. So, everything is done by Him. Again, we have to understand that this is not impersonalism. Otherwise, certainly, the Bhagavad is never going to make a statement promoting impersonalism. Never. So everything is done by Him means, as clearly explained here in the verse and by Prabhupada, Sarva Karna Karnam, that Krishna is the cause behind everything. Another foolish question that Westerners sometimes ask, you go to these over-intelligent university students and they may say, you say God is the source of everything, but who's the source of God? I say, it's a stupid question, you know. But they ask this question, you know. We say, therefore, the phrase be all and end all is used here. Be all and end all. The Krishna is the beginning of everything. God is the beginning of everything, and everything is emanating from Him. This is the conclusion of all the Shastra. So everything is done by Him indicates that He is the actor behind everything, both for the non-devotees and the devotees. For the non-devotees, however, it is Lord Vishnu who is behind the scenes, unseen. The term is Daivanatrena. How many of you know what Daivanatrena means? Uh-oh. Daivanatrena? Ladies and gentlemen, you need to read more in Prabhupada's books. I do quizzes. Now, offering all my Dandabhat Pranams to all these great souls that are assembled here, who are Sarva Karna Karnam, very rare Sarva, again the word Sarva, Sarva Karna Karnam, Sudrubhava, very rare, Krishna uses the word Sudrubhava, very, very rare, so you are all very rare souls assembled here. So offering my Dandabhat Pranams to all of you, I say, with folded hands, please read in Prabhupada's books. That's right. The man is biting his tongue. Yes. In India, they go like this. They pull on the earlobes, you know. So, Sarva Karna Karnam. So, everything is done by Him, Krishna. Everything belongs to Him, and everything is offered by Him. So the term Daivanatrena, Daiva is the same root word as divinity, as so many words in English are coming from Sanskrit that is not acknowledged by Western etymologists. Etymologists means specialists in language. It is not, rarely do they acknowledge that how many words in English language are coming from Sanskrit. Very rarely do they acknowledge it. So, it is very important to understand that the Sanskrit is actually the original language on the planet. The other languages are all recent. 5,000 years ago, Sanskrit was a predominant language, at least amongst the Brahmins. So Daivanatrena, Daiva means divinity or God, and Natrena means unseen. The unseen hand of God. In the beginning, we can't see how He's acting. The neophyte cannot see. Even a devotee, the neophyte devotee, the difference between the neophyte devotee and devotee who has more practice and experience in Krishna consciousness is a neophyte can't see how Krishna's acting behind things. Can't see it. Still blind. Prabhupada said, you're blind. You have got cataracts in the eye. I have come to perform operation. Sometimes Prabhupada said, you've got heart trouble. I've come to do heart surgery, you know. But especially when we say, everyone say, Om Nagina Tumarindasya Gina Gina Shalakaya Chaksu Unminitam Gina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. This indicates that the eyes are closed. Ajnana. In Sanskrit, when you put an A in front of a word, it reverses the meaning. You all know Gyan means knowledge. So Ajnana means the opposite, or ignorance, avidya. Daimanatrina, the unseen hand of God, the neophyte devotee cannot see it. But I want to request of you all, please practice seeing Daimanatrina. You don't have to be Paramahansa. You don't have to be Uttama Adhikari, Mahabhagwat, or Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated soul, Mahabhagwat, very high. You don't have to already have Krishna Prem to understand the concept of Daimanatrina. Even a Madhyama Adhikari or middle level devotee, they can understand, but actually it requires some practice, like a child practices riding a bicycle, you know? And they have these little training wheels on the side so that they don't fall over. So the neophyte devotee has to practice seeing Daimanatrina. I like to say seeing Krishna's fingerprints on everything. Sarvakarna-karna. See, for the non-devotees, it's Lord Vishnu. He's guiding the fish in the ocean, a school of fish it's called, and they're going like this in a dance, this way, that way. Suddenly they turn, it's choreographed like modern dance, this way, that way, this way, that way. Suddenly the head fish changes directions, and everybody goes this way, that way, this way, that way. It's a dance, you know. So when the birds in the sky are flying in a perfect V formation, it doesn't matter whether it's the U.S., South America, Siberia, India, Canada, the birds are all flying in a V formation for aerodynamics. It cuts the air better so that they can all fly together more efficiently. But how many engineers are amongst the birds? Please tell me. Any of them gone to engineering school? How many of you men here have gone to engineering school, university? Not so many here, but in India, there are thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of engineers now. And out of those engineers, the cream of the cream, or the French name, creme de creme, has been adapted into English. The cream of the cream, they're becoming devotees. You need to know that in India, there are about 15, possibly 20,000 IYF boys now. 15 or 20,000 of the cream of the universities of Krishna is snatching them. Prabhupada is snatching them, you see. So, of course, they also taught to keep in touch with parents and so forth like that, not to neglect contact with their family if possible and so forth. But the idea is that the most, because Prabhupada said, preach to the intelligent class. So they are becoming devotees like popping popcorn. That although the Bhagavad Gita says, Sa Mahatma Sadurabha, such a great soul, is very rare. But if you want to understand Srila Prabhupada's mercy, how is it, especially in India, that making devotees like popcorn? You watch popcorn, you put the raw kernels into the popping machine, like out here, it's a popcorn machine, you know. And it sits for a while and it heats just right, it goes in the beginning, pop, pop, pop. And then as the heat increases, then pop, 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 pop. Boom, and the whole, you know, glass case becomes filled with popcorn. It all looks very easy. When devotees, why? How is it so easy? Because who is preaching Krishna consciousness, who is trying to serve this mission of Srila Prabhupada, they are avesh. How many of you know this word, avesh? Ooh. You got to do your homework. These are not big words. These are essential words in understanding Krishna consciousness. Avesh means empowered. Saktivesh, I would imagine you know what Saktivesh means. How many of you know what Saktivesh means? Uh-oh. Not that much better. The Maharajis are as doing good as the men. Saktivesh means one who has descended. For example, we accept that Jesus Christ descended from a higher planet in the material universe. He did not come from Vaikuntha or Braj. He descended from a higher planet, Brahmaloka, Satyaloka. He came down here on a very tough preaching mission because, you know, 2,000 years ago, the situation in the Middle East was not any better than it is now. But anyway, you know, we don't do much preaching in the Middle East. It's a tough, you know, venue for preaching. And so Christ was dispatched to this thankless task of preaching in the Middle East, and it didn't go over very good. So they tried to kill him, you know. Anyways, that he was taken away, healed by his disciples, and taken to Kashmir. There's a tomb in Kashmir, the tomb of Christ. It's well documented in many books, you know. That's a long story. So, avesh means empowered. Saktivesh means who descends. In our line of disciplic succession, our acharyas are primarily Saktivesh. Who descended? And that's interesting because nowadays there's a lot of stress in our movement on the importance of the position of women, or especially if you go to, of course, I haven't preached at a Western college for a long time, but I remember the mentality, you know. They would like to challenge, what is the position of women in the Hare Krishna movement? Like, yeah, I know, you're all male chauvinists, you know, you're all male superiority. You know, I know that. So, tell me, what is the position of women in the Hare Krishna movement? Anybody been asked that question? You can have some fun and tell them the truth, you know. Tell them the truth. Say, with a smile, you say, oh, they completely and totally control the Hare Krishna movement. And they go like, excuse me? I said, you heard me? I said, they completely control the Hare Krishna movement. Can you explain that, please? Because by now they're completely devastated, disarmed. All the steam went out of their, you know, haughty anger and pride is like dismantled, because they're now royally confused. Yes. The Supreme Lord is controlled by a woman. Huh? You heard me. The Supreme Lord is controlled by a woman. God is controlled by a woman. Can you explain that? take one of his books. You know. Krishna is completely and massively controlled by Radharani. Because she is Ladini Shakti. She is the pleasure potency of the Lord. He cannot do anything without Radharani's influence. It doesn't matter if he goes off and plays with his boyfriends in the forest and herds cows. It is Radharani's influence. You say, I thought she stayed home. I thought she was a domestic type. But she is Ladini Shakti, and Krishna is Purusha, the enjoyer. Without the presence of Radharani, Krishna cannot enjoy. He can't, because she is the pleasure potency of Krishna. So if he plays with his coward boyfriends, it's by her influence, by her Shakti, Ladini Shakti. By her influence, he's able to play with his coward boyfriends. If he plays on his flute, it's her influence. If he goes to the river Jamuna and plays leapfrog with his boyfriends, it's her influence, Ladini Shakti. He cannot even move an eyebrow of his famous sidelong glances, you know. When Krishna is, you know, what's sometimes called a, quote, lady killer, you know. I mean, if he just goes, and all the gopis go, you know. In the material world, the perverted reflection is like a famous rock star, you know. And the teeny boppers, you know, 12, 13-year-old girls go up in front of them, I'm sorry, but your hero is a drug addict, a fornicator, and a, you know, cigarette smoker, and usually they die young because they overdose on drugs and too much sex and alcohol and everything like that. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, they say, used to say in America. So that is the perverted, obviously very perverted, reflection of Krishna. Now, Krishna is always surrounded by young ladies, always. It's an addiction. He has an addiction. Where from comes his tendency in the material world? It's coming from Krishna. Why we have got lust? It's coming from Krishna. Because we are the perfect parts and parcels of Krishna, that desire must be there. But then we must send that towards Krishna, towards Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So this movement is controlled by the lady sector. It's a truth. I'm declaring this in front of deities, you know. You can't tell any lie in front of deities. Okay, then someone, what about our acharyas? What about Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Sad Goswami? What about Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? They're all Manjaris. Their Nitya Sarup, or their eternal spiritual form, is Manjari. Manjaris are about 12 years old. They don't get any older than that. Prepubescent. And they are the intimate maidservants of Radhika. And it is she who sends them down to the material world to become acharya, to put on a male costume, which is what it is, a male costume as acharya, and to teach Krishna consciousness in this world. Actually, most devotees even don't realize when you read in the Krishna book, when the gopis say, we're just simple village girls, how many of you believe that? Some of you believe that. You believe they're... You don't know that Vishakha is expert in the Puranas and Vedas? You don't know that? You don't know that Brinda Devi is a scholar, topmost Vedic scholar? That Tulsi Devi that we dance around every morning, kindergarten kids, kani kani japa pani brahma hati di jaya. Okay, kids, let's have fun, let's dance around the bush. Yani kani japa pani brahma hati di jaya. Oh yeah? Who is this Tulsi Devi, anyways? She's topmost gopi. Topmost gopi. The subject of Tulsi Devi we're going to cover in a handful of minutes, you know. But she, the story about Tulsi Devi, there's a whole book now, Madhava Maharaj. Everybody should try to get a hold of this book by Madhava Maharaj, where he's giving all the Shastric background about Tulsi Devi. How she's most favorite, like Lord Vishnu. When she first went to Vaikuntha, and then Lakshmi Devi and especially Saraswati, they were upset because Lord Vishnu was paying all attention to his new wife. So, especially Saraswati, she became upset, disturbed. Although it's Vaikuntha, but these things sometimes happen and amongst the goddesses, you know. So she, Saraswati, couldn't accept this new favorite wife of Lord Vishnu. Seeing this, Tulsi Devi said, "Okay, fine. If I'm not welcome here, I'm leaving." She left Vaikuntha. Then Lord Vishnu says, "Oh no, no, Tulsi, don't go." Too late, she left. Where did she go? Vrindavan. So then Lord Vishnu goes to Vrindavan, looking in every behind every tree and looking everywhere, looking for Tulsi Devi. Seeking Tulsi Devi. Finally, he finds Tulsi Devi. He offers his pranams and he pacifies her, said, "Very sorry." The Supreme Lord takes a very subordinate position to his girlfriends quite often, you know. And so, "Please, you come back with me. It's all right. I'll take care of everything." So she came back, and then Saraswati was pacified. Lakshmi and could accept, you know, the new queen. And they kissed and made up, so to speak. All these powerful goddesses, they all give each other a hug and lived happily ever after. Hari Bol! Come on, Jeev Dabu. Hari Bol! They're living happily ever after. So, anyways, this Ladini Shakti is completely controlling Krishna. So our acharyas are primarily ladies in a male costume. And this is what the Hare Krishna movement is all about. And if you consider, what about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's primarily Srimati Radharani. Less Krishna. His famous mood is Radharani. The mood of Radharani. His color is the complexion, golden color of Radhika. His famous compassion is the compassion of Radharani. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. But there's more Radharani in Mahaprabhu than there is Krishna. I'm saying this in front of deities, you see. Can't tell a lie. Because his famous compassion is Radharani's mood. And his famous Vipralamba, his famous separation from Krishna, that's totally Radharani. So, actually, Rukmini, Narada Muni, he can go to spiritual world, he can go to Goloka Vrindavan whenever he wants to. Maybe on Prakram you heard this story. That, so Narada Muni went to was feeling great anxiety. Oh, what will happen? This great darkness, this great cloud of darkness, Kali Yuga is coming. Oh, what shall we do? Everyone's doomed. They don't have a chance. So what should we do? He went to not to Braj, but he went. His comfort zone is to go to Dwarka, which is a subsection of Goloka Vrindavan. He went to take audience with Krishna. In the meantime, Rukmini was having a conversation with Krishna, and Narada Muni was eavesdropping to the conversation. And Rukmini was feeling sad. Yes. Why are you feeling sad? She says, well, because I know you're going to go to the palace of another queen soon. So he says, oh, don't worry about it. She says, the problem is you don't know the power of your own lotus feet. Rukmini tells this to Krishna. Then Krishna says, really? I thought I knew everything. She says, no, the power of your lotus feet, that you don't understand. You don't understand. Then the next shocking statement she says is, there's only one person who understands the power of your lotus feet. Krishna goes, really, who is that? And she says, Radharani. She understands the power of your lotus feet. And then Krishna says, yes. So I'm going to descend myself personally. And the mood is Radharani, and I will spread this Krishna consciousness. Jayapataka Swami has explained about how he will send his general and so forth, like that, who means Prabhupada. So he will descend, Krishna informs Rukmini, he will descend, and then he tells Narada Muni to go tell Lord Shiva to come along, I'm descending, tell all the devas to come. He dispatches Lord Shiva as the messenger boy, Narada as the messenger boy, go tell Brahma, go tell Shiva, go tell everybody to come, I'm descending. And I want all my eternal associates to come along. When Lord Shiva hears about the coming descent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he starts dancing in ecstasy, and the whole universe starts to rock, you know, rock and roll. Kurma, the tortoise incarnation, he's the pivot, he's on the bottom of the universe, and everything is resting on him, you know. And then he's a tortoise, you know. His head was inside his shell. But then, thump, thump, boom, boom, bang, bang. Boom, 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 thump, 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 bang, bang. So he sticks his head out of the shell. Hey, what's going on here? As it was Lord Shiva, you know. He's dancing in ecstasy. So then they had to tell him, my dear Lord Shiva, please, Chill down. You know, it's not time to destroy the universe. If you keep dancing like this, you're going to destroy the whole universe. In this way, anyways, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radharani. So, we are all under the protection of the Saladini Shakti. We are all under the protection. She owns every single devotee in the creation. Write that down. She owns every single devotee in the creation. Whether it's Vaikuntha, or the spiritual world, or the so-called material world. She owns and operates all the devotees. She is the best of devotees, she's the original devotee. Anyways, we are out of time, but at least we should try to understand the meaning. Everything is done by Krishna. And he is the primary doer, and he gives freedom to the jiva to try to enjoy, but that freedom is very limited. And so we therefore, devotees know that we have to depend on Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says clearly, in all activities and for the results, just depend upon me. So he didn't say when appropriate, when you feel like it. No, in all activity. So please just remember this and remember the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how our acharyas are primarily manjaris in disguise, how this great movement is going on. Thank you very much. Jaga Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Madhava Ashtasakhi ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.